Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. This Saturday, on April 27th, the Skeleton Press is hosting a fundraising concert featuring Old Man Ludic and special guests. The Skeleton Press is a quarterly paper serving the Skeleton Park neighborhood and surrounding area. They distribute over 6,000 issues throughout the Skeleton Park neighborhood and the rest of the city each season. The Skeleton Press is a unique publication filled with content produced by community members. The project originally launched near the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic to foster connection while in-person programming was suspended. But with the return of in-person programming and without additional support provided by pandemic-specific initiatives, SPAF is in need of support to keep the paper running. To learn more about their second ever fundraising concert taking place this Saturday afternoon at Next Church, I sat down for a quick chat with headliner Old Man Ludic. Well, to get us started, I was wondering if you'd like to introduce yourself and share a bit about how you got involved with this upcoming Skeleton Press fundraiser.
Well, my name is Chris Ludic. I go by the stage name Old Man Ludic, and it's been a few years since I've done a show with the Gertrudes or the Skeleton Park Arts Festival, but I was asked, I guess, a couple of months ago by Greg Tilson to come play and join in. So I said yes.
Awesome, yeah. And what can folks expect on Saturday?
Well, I don't know. For me, I'll do a set of my tunes and storytelling and you know, the stuff that I'm sort of known for, I'll play the banjo and the guitar and a whack of songs about, oh, I don't know, everything from cooking to being a dad and that sort of thing.
Awesome, yeah, and I know you're releasing, or you have released a lot of new music this year. Will any of that be featured?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Awesome. I'll be playing a fair bit of stuff off my new record. I have a new record called She Told Me Where to Go. It's coming out May 24th, and so I'll be playing a few songs from that, at least, I think.
Awesome. Okay, so folks can head out on Saturday and get a preview of that new album and hear some of the other new stuff that you've released in 2024. What can we expect from this upcoming new record?
Well, it's the worst thing is that there's no banjo on it, which is kind of awesome. The mission when we went into the studio with Afy from Bahamas, from the Bahamas band, was that he was like, well, why don't you try just writing the songs? And he's like, why don't we just try to shine the light on your songwriting, as opposed to the fact that the banjo kind of colors, you know, is so well known with you as your sort of trademark sound, and it sort of produces every tune that you do. So he's like, well, if we just treat the songs as songs and build them up as songs, let's see how that goes. So it was a pretty exciting process. I've played and led songs on my guitars, on many of my records, but I've never just treated my songs as songs. I've always sort of gone into the studio with the songs as I sort of would perform them. So that was a pretty neat thing. So you get some kind of, you know, you get some pretty cool, there's some pretty exciting sounds on there for an Old Man Ludic record, I think. But the song material is kind of the same, and I think the warmth and humanity and charm is kind of all shines through in a really nice way because of that new treatment, or that slightly different treatment. I think it's kind of nice to just broaden the palette.
Yeah, definitely. That is really exciting. I mean, it'll be new music, new venue, new technique, all that next Saturday. So that's really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get a lot of the favorites too, I think. we won't reinvent the wheel next week, but yeah.
Definitely. And it is supporting a good cause, the Skeleton Press. Were you familiar with the Skeleton Press before going into this, or?
I wasn't, but everything that they do, I appreciate. You know, I've been able, lucky to play the Skeleton Park Festival, and I think just once, but But anyway, it's great to come back. I'm a long time fan of those people.
Once again, that was local musician Old Man Ludic, who will be performing this Saturday at Next Church, located at 89 Colburn Street, in a fundraising concert for the Skeleton Press. Entry is by donation and doors open at 1:30. Concert starts at 2. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Now for a double feature campus news segment with Erica Singh, where she sits down with two winners from the Inquiry at Queen's Conference.
Hello and welcome to Campus Corner. My name is Erica Singh, and today I'm joined with Lauren, who is here to present her research as a part of the Inquiry at Queen's Research Conference. Hi, Lauren. Do you just mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, of course. My name is Lauren Waters, and I'm a fourth year undergraduate student at Queen's, and I'm currently studying English literature. My minor is film. I'm really interested in literary theory and criticism, and I really enjoy Gothic fiction, and I'll be doing my master's here in English literature at Queen's this upcoming fall.
All right, and can you please give us a brief introduction of your research?
Yeah, so my research, I was presenting a paper titled Bloodlust and Blood Loss in Carmilla, Menstrual Madness and Nymphomania in the 19th Century. Essentially, I was using Joseph Sheridan Le Fanu's 19th century novel, Carmilla, as a way of connecting to real life Victorian medicine. So the novel follows a pair of girls, Carmilla, who's a vampire, and Laura. And I just noticed the way that their behavior or symptoms within the text kind of mirrored Victorian accounts of women being diagnosed with nymphomania and menstrual madness. And so essentially in doing this, I just wanted to highlight how Victorian medicine was seeking to moralize female sexuality, and it overall contributed to a lot of stigma surrounding female bodies in the 19th century.
And how did you decide on this topic?
In the past, I've done a lot of similar research on Victorian medicine. I've presented a similar paper in a different conference on medicine in relation to Bram Stoker's Dracula. So I guess I've just always been a little bit drawn to vampires and medicine and literature. And so when reading these texts, I have always found myself like really drawn to the female vampires and almost like overly empathetic towards them, even though they're monsters and they kill people. And I guess through research, I just found that my empathy for these characters just like continued to grow when I discovered how their vampirism sort of paralleled a lot of real life women that were being mistreated under the guise of medicine. Last semester, I took a course on 19th century folk horror, and Carmilla was one of the assigned texts, and I just found it was the perfect intersection of so many of my interests. So it led me to create this paper.
And what were some of your most interesting or surprising discoveries?
So one of the things that continually shocked me in the process is I've always sort of thought of science, and I guess medicine in particular, as an area of study that's really objective and filled with facts, you know, completely so unlike something that I'm studying, like English literature. But I just continue to be surprised by the amount of bias that I was encountering in these medical texts. In particular, in my research, I came across this one 19th century doctor who was essentially suggesting that excessive bleeding during menstruation stems from excessive lust, which is just incredibly biased and blames women for their own medical issues. So yeah, many of the texts that I was looking at used a lot of similar blaming language and was often writing about these real innocent women who were just seeking medical assistance as like depicting them as lustful monsters. So yeah, honestly, as much time as I've spent researching this particular topic now, I don't think I'll ever not be shocked at how much bias medicine can really have.
How did you approach the challenge of researching, and what ways did you use to find these texts?
Yeah, for me in particular, I guess the biggest challenge is when approaching any research in the 19th century, especially, is just trying to find the sources and find particularly primary sources actually from the era. Because, you know, in my research, I rely quite heavily on the internet. And obviously, these sources were being written long before the world of the internet existed. It was very, very difficult. I was trying really hard to find early writings on nymphomania, and it kind of became a little bit of a leapfrog sort of situation where I would just find a source that would talk about nymphomania, scroll down to their works cited, go to find the places that they cited, and just continued back until I could find something that was like a true primary source of the era that I wanted. Ultimately, it was just about finding sources on the internet. But once I found them, it was pretty much smooth sailing out from there.
And how did he get involved with the inquiry conference?
I actually participated in it in my second year. And it was not something on my radar at all, but I had this really wonderful professor in one of my classes send me an email, let me know about it, and encouraged me to sign up. And that was back when it was on Zoom. And I really enjoyed the experience. I thought it was really fun. And so when I saw the listing for it again this year, I figured I would do it again. So yeah, it was mainly wonderful professors and people in the English department that were really encouraging that got me initially involved in it.
And do you have any advice for people who want to look into this topic about where they could go about finding information?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say start with the texts themselves. Start with like literature like Carmilla, and see where it takes you, I guess, because you know I didn't know that I was interested in medicine in the 19th century at all until I was reading these fiction novels about vampires, of all things. And just see where your research leads you, see what other people are writing, and see what sort of things you agree with, what you don't agree with, and talk to your professors, talk to students around you, and just see where the fiction takes you, I guess.
Thank you so much for your time today, Lauren. Once again, that was Lauren Waters sharing her research. As a part of the Inquiry at Queen's Research Conference, today I'm here with Dominic. Hi, Dominic, could you please introduce yourself?
My name is Dominic Everett. I'm a now fourth year Bachelor of Music student at the Dance School of Drama and Music at Queen's. And I focus on theory and analysis and composition.
And could you give us a brief introduction of your research?
Yeah, so my project was titled Analyzing Compositional Style in the Music of The Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time, and it was completed through Queen's Undergraduate Student Summer Research Fellowship. It was supervised by Dr. Stephanie Lind and Dr. Dean Burry, and essentially it was a study looking at music written by famous game composer Koji Kondo to study his style such that I could analyze it and develop my own style in a way that is orally identifiable and in a way that evokes nostalgia in the same way that his works do famously.
And how did you decide on this topic?
Mostly it was a personal interest, as well as the music is famous for, as I say, evoking a feeling of nostalgia. So I was just already interested in it. And then on top of that, I took a course at Queen's, MUSC 240, which is the music of video games. And that just I was further interested in it because I had taken the course that discussed some interesting concepts that I wanted to pursue further in my own research. And my degree is in theory, so I'm just constantly curious about how things work, and I wanted to dive into the music and look at it a bit more closely.
And what methods of research did you use?
The first step was gameplay. So I had to actually play the game and get a firsthand understanding and experience of how the music works and how it makes you feel and how it's used mechanically in the game rather than just for aesthetics. And then after that, it was the research creation portion where I would go back and forth between some aspect of research and then a compositional experiment after that. So I would study the character themes in the game, and then I would try and write my own character theme. And then I would study the location cues and sound effects and anything practical for the game, and try to do it in my own words, basically. And again, my degree is in theory, so the main research method was analyzing the music, harmonically and melodically, and seeing what patterns emerge.
And what were some of the patterns and the main findings of your research?
In the music itself, it's the most interesting pattern was I have to find a way to do this without diving into too much unnecessary detail, but the music in the game is used functionally, so the player controls the music, which is a unique thing. So there were a lot of interesting patterns in creating melodies that were simple and easily memorable for the accessibility factor, but also were interesting so that, players don't get boring and things like that.
And what were some of the most interesting or surprising things you found?
The main takeaway from the research kind of disproved the original concept of the research. So I had gone in attempting to quantify style, and then I basically discovered that you can't, because I would copy the same patterns done by composers to try and imitate them, and although it sounded like an imitation of them, it still sounded like my style. No matter what I tried to do, if I were writing in the style of Koji Kondo, it would sound like me, or if I was writing in the style of someone else, it would sound like me, or even if I were doing a compositional experiment trying to not use any of those techniques used by those composers, it would still just end up sounding like me. So essentially, I discovered that you can't copy a style, and yeah, style is unquantifiable.
Is there anywhere that our listeners can access your research?
There is an abstract for the essay published on the Inquiry at Queen's website. The full essay is not available anywhere currently, but I'm working on that. And the project was presented live at this year's Inquiry at Queen's conference, and it will be presented again at this year's MuseCan National Music Conference in Manitoba. So if you're interested in hearing a full presentation on it, then you can look into that.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Dominic.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time, for interviewing me.
That's all for Campus Corner today. Thank you so much for listening. Now over to sports.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk with your sports report for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. We begin with a recap of the Stanley Cup playoff games from Monday, April 22nd. The Carolina Hurricanes beat the New York Islanders 5-3, taking a 2-0 lead in the series. The Vegas Golden Knights beat the Dallas Stars 4-3 to take a 1-0 lead. The Edmonton Oilers, with a very impressive performance led by 5 points from Connor McDavid, defeated the LA Kings 7-4 to take a 1-0 lead. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, coming hot off the heels of a disastrous Game 1 performance, beat the Boston Bruins in a comeback 3-2, tying their series at one game apiece. On Tuesday night, the New York Rangers defeated the Washington Capitals 4-3 to take a 2-0 lead in their series. The Florida Panthers beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2 to go up 2-0 in their series. The Colorado Avalanche even things up with the Winnipeg Jets with a 5-2 victory. That series is now tied 1-1. And perhaps most surprisingly, the Nashville Predators scored a 4-1 victory on the road in Vancouver against the Canucks to tie their series at one game apiece. After a busy Tuesday night of action, the NHL has 3 games on offer this evening. At 7 p.m., the Boston Bruins and Toronto Maple Leafs will play Game 3 of their series. This is the first game to be played at Scotiabank Arena. At 9:30 p.m., the Vegas Golden Knights will be on the road in Dallas to take on the Stars. And at 10 p.m., we get Game 2 of the series between the LA Kings and the Edmonton Oilers. This concludes your sports report for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. For more from the CFRC Sports Desk, please follow at CFRC Sports on Instagram and at CFRC Power Plays. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Now for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting clear skies with winds being 20 kilometers per hour, becoming light this evening. We have a low of -2, wind chill -6 overnight. Looking forward to tomorrow, Thursday, April 25th, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 9 degrees, UV index of 5 or moderate. We'll have clear skies at night with a low of -3. On Friday, the 26th of April, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 15 and clear skies at night with a low of 7. Finally, this weekend, we'll have cloudy skies with a chance of showers. That wraps up your weather report for this evening. Now for your CFRC traffic report. This is Christina Laurie coming in with your weekly CFRC traffic report for the week of April 19th to 25th. Keep in mind that reduced load restrictions will temporarily come to an end in Kingston as of April 15th. Heavy trucks and loads will not be restricted on city roads until further notice. PSPC wishes to advise users that the LaSalle Causeway is still fully closed to motorists, cyclists, and pedestrians until further notice. In other road closures to look out for, Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court Avenue to 7th Avenue is closed until May 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Place d'Armes to north end of King Street is closed until September 30th for the construction of new storm and roadbed. The road will still be open to local traffic. 7th Avenue, Alfred Street to Hillcrest Avenue is closed until May 4th for sanitary sewer system replacement. This road will also be open to local traffic. St. Catherine Street, Pine Street to end of Pine Street is closed from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. on April 22nd and 23rd for the City of Kingston Public Works forestry crews to remove a large tree. University Avenue, Union to Earl is still closed until May 29th for the Queen's JDUC project. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Structure Restoration Project is now underway. The work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is planned to conclude in late December of this year. The work will be completed in phases to allow the building to remain open to public parking for the duration of the project. It is anticipated that no more than 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will be closed at any time. There is also parking availability at the Chown Memorial and Robert Bruce Memorial parking garages in the two adjacent blocks to the west. The Chown Memorial garage will experience two full closures in the coming weeks to accommodate cleaning of the garage. Please use the Hanson Memorial garage during these times. April 25th at 6 p.m. to April 26th at 6 a.m. Entry will be restricted after 3 p.m. on April 25th, but vehicles in the lot will be permitted to leave. Payment required on exit. May 7th at 6 p.m. to May 8th at 6 a.m. Entry will be restricted after 3 p.m. on May 7th, but vehicles in the lot will be permitted to leave. Once again, payment required on exit. In other delays, Bay Ridge Drive, Woodbine Road to Cataract Way Woods Drive, expect delays until April 30th while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Princess Street, Bay Ridge Drive to Collins Bay Road, expect delays until April 30th while contractors are completing construction restoration work in that area. Queen Street, Montreal Street to Sydenham Street, expect an eastbound lane closure until May 15th. Detours will be in place for the duration of the closure. That wraps up your CFRC traffic report for this evening, and next up is your concerts and events calendar.
And now it's time for the CFRC Community Concert and Events Calendar. Have an event you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. On Monday, April 22nd at 7 p.m., you can head to Daft Brewing for music trivia. Host Bon Evans will lead the evening and test your musical knowledge. Winning team walks away with bragging rights and a $50 gift card. There will also be trivia at Brass Pub at 8 p.m. in teams of four. Come early and bring three of your smartest friends. Free, 19 plus only. On Tuesday, April 23rd, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., With a Twist Kingston is hosting Paint Night at the Blue Martini. This is a time to get the creative juices flowing, meet some friendly people, and get colorful in a lively social setting with the guidance of an accomplished artist. Reserve seats now by texting 343-333-2011. Tickets are $45 each. Arrive early, enjoy apps and drinks. On Tuesday, April 23rd, Thursday, April 25th, and Saturday, April 27th, the Kingston Public Market will be held at Springer Market Square, 216 Ontario Street, featuring local vendors. The market will be open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and will remain open every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday until late fall. To view a full list of vendors, visit kingstonpublicmarket.ca/vendors. On Wednesday, April 24th, enjoy Peace and Quiet at the Spire, which will take place between 11 a.m. and 12:45 p.m. During this time, you are welcome to experience the peace and quiet of the historical sanctuary of the Spire during a time of silent meditation and contemplation. Come and go anytime within those hours. Enter through the main doors at 82 Sydenham Street. Proof of vaccination and masks are required. All are welcome. On Thursday, April 25th at 7:30 p.m., indie rock band Land of Talk is set to electrify the stage at the Kingston Broom Factory, one of the city's most storied and atmospheric venues. This live performance, part of their much-anticipated tour, is expected to be a highlight for indie music fans. Be sure to get your tickets on Eventbrite for $35. Navigating the vibrant city of Kingston just got a lot more exciting. The monthly Welcome to Kingston Networking Night is taking place on Thursday, April 25th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Tiernanog. Proudly hosted by Keys and the Kingston Economic Development Corporation, these gatherings take place on the last Thursday of every month at unique local venues. Don't miss out on this fantastic opportunity to weave your story into the fabric of Kingston's bustling network. Be sure to reserve your spot today on Eventbrite under Kingston Welcome Night. On Friday, April 26, come see Chris Jackson live at Blue Martini from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. You never know who will join Chris on stage, but be prepared to be entertained as he delivers some amazing rock and classic rock favorites. Come early to snag your seat and warm up for the show. On Saturday, April 27th, join the Bored Bartender at Studio 330 at 339 Berry Street, anytime from 5 p.m. to midnight for a great night of games. Try something new or crack a classic. Bring friends and family or come meet folks. You can get tickets for $8.85 at theboardbartender.ca. This weekend is Limestone Race Weekend. Hosted by the Kingston Roadrunners Association, this premier event invites runners of all levels to experience the scenic beauty of downtown Kingston while participating in a range of races designed to suit every fitness level. Be sure to check out the events and register at trackie.com/event/limestone-race-weekend. Are you a trans, non-binary, genderqueer, genderfluid, or any other non-cisgender person who wants a safer space to swim and to meet other students slash wider trans community members? Head over to the Athletics and Recreation Center at 283 Earl Street on Sunday, April 28th at 2:30 p.m. for a solidarity swim. Swimmers will meet at the Arc Earl Street entrance at 2:20 p.m. This event is free and open to the wider Kingston community. For more information and to register, visit gogalesgo.com. And rounding things out, if you're looking for some live music to finish off the week, be sure to see Jay Smith live at Caesar & Co. on Sunday, April 28th from 8 to 10 p.m. This concludes CFRC's Community Concert and Events calendar for the week. This is Jesse Bell signing off and wishing you all nothing but the best.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.